Before we get started, I have a few classes that are coming up. My consent educator program this time around is a consent-based teaching artist program. So the goal is to help artists figure out how and what they want to teach and create a business around that to support their art practice. That is 11 weeks and it contains the consent educator training, the unblocked class on moving through creative blocks with a consent practice with yourself, and business support. My Boundaries and Consent workbook for people pleasers is now available for pre-order in paperback, which is super exciting. It's being published by For the Birds, Trapped in Airports, which is a local LA press. Consent Wizardry also has hats and shirts and other fun stuff that also supports the show. And of course, we have our affiliate link to Foria CBD Wellness products. You get 20% off and we get a little kickback, as well as our Lust Cinema affiliate links also in the show notes. You get access to 20% off of their softcore, hardcore, and long form porn. It's awesome. I can speak to that both from the perspective of a consumer and as an intimacy coordinator on some of their shoots. So I highly recommend that. And we get a little, it helps support the show. So take a look at those and thank you for helping. You also may know that I've been working on a musical and a book. If those are things that you're interested in, sort of a behind the scenes look at, if you subscribe on my Instagram, I give kind of a little BTS window into the process, how it's going, what's on my mind, everything that it's really taking, everything that's going into recording the soundtrack, writing the script, the staged reading processes, and writing the book, and the kind of like existential questions that come up in writing a book, I'm learning. So if that's of interest to you, it's $5 a month on Instagram, and you get a few other things with subscriber-only access, including some captions in video form, there's a couple other things on there, but that's a really nice way to show your support. I'm closing down the Patreon. It's just too many platforms. Jeez Louise, too many platforms. So I'm shutting down Patreon, but the Instagram subscriber-only channel is going to kind of take the place of that. I hope to see you there. All right. Welcome back to Share the Load. This is the latest of the Unblocked series that I'm doing with artists and creatives who took my Unblocked course. And today I'm talking to Kiana Elkins. Thank you for being here.
Of course. Happy to be here.
And please tell everyone what they need to know about you.
Yeah, so like Mia said, my name is Kiana Elkins. I am the founder of a company called Loving Practice. And a lot of the work that I do is really around supporting folks in developing intentional relationship practices. And my motivation for that is relatively selfish, but the motivation is that I believe in freedom and liberation for all of us. And I think that it's through our relationships that we do that. And so through this work, we're kind of practicing liberation and bringing those values into our day-to-day. And I'm also a community steward. So have been cultivating a lot of community programs to bring people into this work, but so that they can also support one another and not feel as like alone or isolated in trying to do this.
When you say to do this, what is this?
Yeah, I think some of the ask that I have for the people who work with me is to get really clear about their personal values and the values that I think we hold for the world. So just from my experience with you, Mia, I imagine we have like our audiences are pretty like lefty people.
Yeah, I would say so.
And so we have these values of the world that's like, you know, we don't want folks to be houseless, we don't want folks to go hungry. We don't believe in incarceration. Like, we want folks to be taken care of, but then in our actual day to day, we maybe don't carry out those values. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's not purposeful. It's just how we were conditioned to be in like people growing up in a Western capitalist imperialist,
Yeah.
country. And so we're getting clear on those values, but often for a lot of people, you might be the only person in your direct network doing this work. Right? You're the only person who's putting intention behind your actions and how you show up in your community. And that can be very isolating to do because you're like, I'm thinking so much about this. And I'm trying to bring people closer into my life and also unlearn things from myself. Whereas the people around you might be like, I'm totally fine being a mess. I'm totally being reckless in my life. And things like, right. So there's like that isolation. And so we're bringing folks into community to support one another through that.
Beautiful. Okay, so question, what inspired you to take a class that was like expressly designed for artists?
I feel like, I don't know, the woo-woo side of me. I experience the act of creation so profoundly and deeply in everything that I do. And I feel like that act of creation that we just do on a day-to-day is a type of artistry. Like there's some sort of poeticness that I think you can bring through intention and reflection in the day-to-day. And so at the time that I was signing up for Unblocked, I was feeling really stuck in the start of developing this business. And I had a goal, like I wanted to write newsletters, I wanted to build out my business, do all this stuff, and was very blocked, basically. Very blocked. And it was getting really frustrating because my lack of clarity resulted in me making decisions that were out of alignment for myself, which then presented as like spending a ton of money on stuff that I shouldn't have spent money on. Starting and stopping projects in a way that didn't feel good, like I wasn't seeing follow through, and what I was kind of agreeing or making commitments for myself. And so then I was like, okay, well, I want that clarity, right? I want to try to be more focused and more aligned in my actions. And I think there was probably some wording in how you pitched the Unblock program, where I was like, that feels like something that I could really value from. And ultimately I did. Like, I feel like I got a lot out of the program.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, you've talked about it online, and I so appreciate what you've said about it. And I so agree with you. I think that you can kind of almost anything can like be approached artfully. And that's such a beautiful way to like move through the world because it just enhances like every aspect of life, you know? And I think I'm thinking about like when I've been, you know, mentally not in such a great place, like things like cooking lose their artistry. I'm like, okay, I just have to like put this in my mouth, you know? I just need to make something that I'll eat. And then when I'm in a better place or when I'm cooking with someone else, it can feel really creative and generative. And there's certainly an art to business, I think. Like that is something that I have been able to learn over the last several years. A lot of that learning was with my business coach. I no longer work with her, but she was wonderful and helped me so much. Her name is Des Davis. And it really became so clear that there's so much creativity to this. And I think one of the beautiful things about creativity and how I think consent kind of overlaps with creativity, and I think this really applies to business, is that when you learn kind of like structures and fundamentals, that's how you cultivate instincts, preferences, desires, your style, your voice. So it can be, you know, I think like I remember first starting my business and working with Des and her telling me, like, you have really good business instincts. And I was like, what are you talking about?
That there's no way that's true. And then over time, like I started to understand what she was talking about as maybe the like noise started to fall away, or like as I started to get more concrete tools and tips, I was like, oh, there is a way that like I'm doing this differently, that I'm this is my way of doing this. And I started to feel a lot more choice around it as opposed to just like doing whatever she said.
Yeah, if I am also picking up on, I think, two other areas where there's an overlap. Like, one coming up for me is around, I think, how we traditionally think of artistry and creation. As for me, I'm like, that's alchemy. Like, you're taking nothing and turning it into something that didn't exist before. And I see that a lot of just creative processes generally. And like, we're talking about here with sort of like business ideation, I guess, or like development, where, when I'm working on a program, like there's so much thought and ideation that goes into that. And then, like, when I put my website up, it's the most basic looking website, but I was like, I did that.
You did it.
I'm an artist. This is incredible. Like, this is beautiful, right? Like, and when people come to this thing, they are getting to witness something that I've created, which feels similar. It's like when I go to an art museum and I get to witness something that someone created. So there's that alchemy piece. And then there's the creative self-expression that I think also can be a reflection of the world that we're in. And so for both of us, like our businesses are a reflection of the world we're in, where people have a need for something and we're like, well, I've got skills or information or talents to support that. But it's uniquely through us and through our perspective. Like, I would say I have yet to encounter another educator who educates in the way that you do. And I think people would say the same for me. So there's like that very unique expression of self that comes through the work as well.
I think that's like a big part of this like recurring theme in my work, and that is a big focus of Unblocked, is like moving from the question, is this right, to do I like it? Or even away from the question, is it good, to do I like it? Like, I think there's so much. When it comes to art, I think that's like really obvious. It's still something that you have to learn because it can take a lot to get out of the mindset of asking like, did I do it right? I also like I grew up playing classical piano and doing ballet and stuff, and so it was like there is pretty much like a right way, like obviously there's like emotionality or whatever, but you're either playing the notes that are on the page or you're not. But in business, it's really easy to then get into that like very logical brain where you're like, no, there's a right way to do this and a wrong way to do this. And like that, if you're doing it right, you'll make money. And if you're doing it wrong, you won't. Like that kind of very lateral thinking. And I love what you said, that like I teach in a way that like reflects who I am, and so do you. I think there's a way that when you're learning to teach anything, it's like really easy to get stuck in that mind, that headspace. There's a right way to teach this and a wrong way to teach this. And something that I focus on so much, especially, I mean, in all my classes, but especially in the consent educator training, is like, please put this in your own words and like, essentially translate it into your voice, because you're going to be working with different people who need to hear it in different ways and in different contexts. Like for you to be doing this in the workplace is different from me doing it with like queer millennial artists on,
Yeah, absolutely. There's, I'd say, one of the take like greatest takeaways I think I got specifically from Unblocked, because I've done two programs with so I'll talk about both, but with Unblocked, I think I see that showing up a lot in my work around rejecting perfectionism.
Love it.
So I'm a Capricorn rising. I have like five placements in Capricorn. My instinct is to like, this has to, on a microscopic level, be perfect. Otherwise, like, I like, if it's not that, it's horrible. But I've been trying to very, I guess, sort of intentionally lean into imperfection in a lot of the stuff that I do now, where, I'll be working on something. I think I have like event descriptions or something. And in my mind, I'm like, this is exactly what this should look like. And the wording should be this way. And now I'm kind of like, I'm gonna just throw some words on here, make it make sense. But I'm gonna try to put in minimal sort of effort here because I think the rejecting perfection has opened up space for me and like expanded my capacity. And then the other thing, one of the other things that I've taken from you and that I try to share with folks, I did the train the trainer program for the yes to no spectrum. And a lot of the folks that I work with, we're sort of approaching that intentional relationship work. One of the tactics that I'm using is trying to meet people where they are. And my sort of framework is like starting where you are and starting small. So instead of asking people to like suddenly become community organizers and like, taking actions and all this stuff, I'm literally like, where are you in your day to day? And one of those places is at work. And that's where a lot of people are experiencing the most friction in their relationships. And so I've been sharing a lot with them. They think a lot about the capacity that they have in showing up in their jobs, especially a lot of the folks I'm with are values-oriented people. So they're like, I work in the domestic violence space, or I work with LGBTQ folks, like very values-aligned work. And then they're there. And so I'm always like, okay, so you're saying that you need to do this or you should do this, but what is your, how are you consenting to these things? And what is your capacity to actually do that? And who would you be letting down if you consent to do more than you actually can? Like, how would that actually shift your relationship? So that's one of the things as well that has really helped me. But then I think bringing that to the folks I'm working with too.
That's awesome. I'm wanting to ask you, what do you feel like are the things in your life? Like, maybe if you just had three things, whether it's like a person, a conversation, something you read that like led you to this work, kind of like the catalyst for why you do this.
I can probably actually give you three specific, like, what is it, villain origin stories or something.
Yeah, cool.
So one of the impetus for me is growing up. I'm still in the like exploration stage, but I think I'm autistic. And so I've been doing a lot of reflection on how that may have been impacting how I've been going through the world. And as a young person in my family specifically, being very much so outcasted and like really out of place. And I found it very hard to make up for the lack of connection in my family through my friends, because I was also very like socially awkward in friend, like in friend spaces. And I am still spending my life trying to understand relationships ultimately. Like I still, I'll call up my friends who are very sociable, and I'm like, how the fuck do you do this? How do you just like talk to people? Like what, what is this? And so relationships generally have always been at the forefront of my mind because I feel so uncomfortable in them. And then part of that discomfort led me to being a community organizer and trying to find community in spaces where I felt like people aligned with my values. And I would go into those spaces, and I would say, like 90% of the time, it was awful. And it was usually awful because of how folks were treating each other in these spaces, where I think what I was seeing was like taking the frustrations that we have on the world and the people who like really, really, really hold power in the world, and maybe feeling a bit ineffective or like we can't change those things, and trying to exact power where we were. And then often,
On other people also trying to do the work
yes,
is so
exactly.
often the case. Yes.
And then devastating people, right? And so I was in these spaces and both experiencing a lot of harm, witnessing a lot of harm, unintentionally contributing to a lot of harm. And I found that really frustrating. I was like, this feels disgusting. You know, this feels really awful to be in.
And a lot of those spaces will also tell you like that's love. Like that's what love looks like, you know? Like I'm this I'm talking to you like I think you're fucking stupid because I love you and because I trust that you could do better. And it's like I don't really think that I've had to really move away from a lot of relationships where that's the case.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because that's like, I think for me, the intention or what I would hope the intentions of those spaces are is like to bring people in and show them what could be possible, like to offer them a space to experience the change that they want to see. So yeah, so that experience is what really got me like, okay, well, F this kind of thing. And around that time, I was reading Bell Hooks' book, All About Love. And that, I think it was my second or third time reading it, and it really hit me. And there's a line, I'm not going to quote it properly, but there's something in there about like love being salvation. And like, I literally have a tattoo that says salvation. And that's one of the things that connects or reminds me of is like love and relationships is how we are saved. Like it's how we pursue liberation or experience liberation. And yeah, and like, you know, like you were saying, that's usually how the organizer, like people in these spaces tell us like, this is what love is. So my initial programming was very like, okay, we're gonna work on asking for our needs to be met, being direct communicators, whatever. And now,
Sorry, my cat just like fell asleep and almost completely rolled off my lap and grabbed onto my leg. Sorry, I didn't mean to like, I just, you obviously saw that I was having a reaction. I was like, I have to explain.
no, that's important for
Oh, it was
baby.
so cute. Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. So, where were you?
I was just saying that the work that I was doing initially was around like working with people to bring folks closer into relationship with them. And what I noticed in that is I was asking people to do something without preparing them with like the initial steps, which is that a lot of folks are like, there's this person I care a lot about, but I need to have a hard conversation with them. And that's really scary. And so I'm just not going to do it. So now the work that we're doing is helping people build like conflict tolerance. Helping people to see what healthy generative conflict looks like and feels like. So that, you know, when we're in these spaces, you might be a little bit easier to be like, actually, that's not what love is. What you're doing is actually, you know?
I mean, so many things are going through my mind. One is like, I'm just beaming inside about this like constellation of people doing amazing work that I have around me because like you're talking about something that is so important and so significant. And it's also reminding me of Brooke Hurst's work where they focus so much on grief and like they taught that grief course last year that I did as a student where it was focused on grief it, throughout the boundaries and consent journey. Where you lose relationships, which like you're talking about. So I've started to kind of give this like something of like a warning at the beginning of a lot of my classes, not in unblocked because we're not focused so much on like interpersonal relationships, but like in the people pleasing course and in the educator training, I talk now very upfront at the beginning about how like often I see consent used as a way to bypass the hard work that you're talking about, the conflict, like navigation, the stating boundaries. You know, like it's very easy to learn about consent and go, oh, this relationship that I have is one-sided. They've just been taking from me and I need to cut them out of my life. Hurrah, I did it, you know? And what happens as a result is so much grief. There's like so much, you know, you lose these relationships, you lose a part of yourself. There's also obviously all this other grief that I've talked about so much around like, you know, how different your life could have been had you had this information sooner, blah, blah, blah. But I love the ways that those kind of dovetail, where like you're talking about really trying to do the work to create long-lasting relationships and connections. And then if and when it turns out that a relationship can't withstand conflict, or someone is not willing to engage with you that way, or repeatedly ignores a boundary that you've stated clearly, you know, then you've got the grief support. And like it's just so beautiful to like look at the ways that everyone is, I don't know, it's amazing. So beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the language of like a constellation. I think what you're naming and what I see, even just, you know, I'm gonna bring you into this. So there's like the three of us of I think we're all looking at some iteration of the same problem. Like we're all sort of experiencing like there's something missing, right? And there's something that people need. And taking our, you know, unique experience and framework to try to help and support people in that, which is really beautiful because I think it's a reminder as well that we don't have to be everything to everybody and we don't have to do everything for everyone. Because in my program, I'm like, you're absolutely right. People are going to be experiencing grief, and I'm very clear, like, that's not my area of expertise.
Sure.
I can refer you to people, right? I think that's really like a really beautiful thing to see people. Like you said, taking the position that they can to support folks in the ways that they are able to.
And also, you know, think about what you said about like that you teach in your voice and I teach in mine and Brooke teaches in theirs, and like it's so beautiful, even like being in their class and they did the educator program and seeing how they've taken the material that I shared and like turned it into their own thing and expanded on it. It's just so cool. I was also, I'm really interested in this thing that you're talking about around like, you know, especially in like lefty spaces where we like eat our own, you know, and it becomes this like this bubble where we don't reach the people who are different from us. And often the people who are different from us actually do have a lot of power to create change. Because I think about like, you know, I don't have friends who are politicians. I don't have, I will have one, but we went to elementary school together. We see each other once a year at like a 4th of July party. You know, like I don't have friends who work in like public policy. I have one friend who's a lawyer, but like most of my friends are art, you know what I mean? Like they're mostly artists, they're mostly like in entertainment or doing like this kind of work, or they're therapists. I have so many friends who are therapists. So what ends up happening is that we scrutinize the minutia, and we don't reach beyond the people who are already like mostly in alignment. I've had people leave my life because they don't like how I don't have comments on my Instagram page and like how I talk about cancellation, how I'm like really against cancellation. You know, and I'm like, this sucks because you and I are so closely aligned on so many things. It's such a shame that we wouldn't be able to just be like, all right, that's where you're at, and that's where I'm at. We're different in these areas, but we really should be working together because ultimately our values are so much more aligned than like the general population. And unfortunately, you know, a few people have like exited my life because of those, because of the minutia. I mean, it's like almost a joke at this point, but I talk about how like, you know, so many trans people will argue with other trans people about whether it's okay to use the terms AFAB and AMAB when referring to themselves, but they're not willing to have conversations with anyone who can't get their pronouns right, when ultimately, like, those are the people who, you know, like my aunts, my mom's siblings, like did my pronoun practice class. They cannot get my pronouns right. They cannot do it. But they took that class, and I guarantee they've each had at least one conversation with someone else who had no idea what the fuck I would have been talking about in that class. And like, how else do I reach those people if I say, you know what, Aunt Judy, you can't get my pronouns right, so I'm not coming to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll like tell folks sometimes where part of the way that I see this like conflict work that I've been doing is we have this expectation of people to like be revolutionary and radical and to like be willing to lay their life on the line for other folks and to really buck at the system, right? Like that's what we expect of people. I have a hard time telling my own girlfriend that something she did upset me. Like, so there's a really wide gap between
Right. That's
what
so
people
funny.
actually have like tool house and where we expect them to be. And you had said earlier, like we do so much like scolding and just like, well, you're not there, you're not where I want you to be. And so therefore we don't need to be in a relationship with each other. And that sort of dynamic, it doesn't encourage people to want to move closer to where you are. And that isn't to say that like you should keep people in your life who are absolutely horrible. Like
No.
I don't have people in my life who harm me or who I think are not people that I want around. But I think especially with in spaces and around things where you need or you want to be in a relationship with people, you have to do the work in order to keep those relationships, right?
Right.
Even if it's at the bare minimum of like, I know we have a shared value of addressing houselessness in our community. That's like a shared
Right.
value that we hold. The actual dynamics of like how we do that, you just need to be able to have the discussion around it, right?
Right.
It doesn't need to be like my tactic is the only one and yours, and yours is wrong or something.
No, oh my God. And like, I'm even tying that to like what you were saying about like that we each teach in our own way that expresses who we are. Like, you know, I know that my work is like what I'm doing. You know that your work is what you're doing. And for me to try to do a bajillion other kinds of work is actually not, you know, like I have a dear friend who's like really invested in like environmental activism. And I'm like, you know, I don't flush when I pee. I'm a Californian. I like save the water that I, when I'm heating up the shower, I have an electric car, I compost. And I'm like, that's about, you know, I shop organic. I'm like, that's like about as much as I mostly buy used clothes. I mean, like, I feel like I'm doing a lot. But then sometimes this friend and I get into these arguments where she's like, you're not doing enough. Nobody's doing enough. And I'm like, you know what? I'm so glad that you have this focus and fervor on this thing because I'm focused on this other thing. And I love that we are in relationship. I'm also thinking, like you were talking about, well, just right before, like my girlfriend was telling me that on like our first date, I think that she used to work at a spa, and the spa was like my girlfriend, who's like trans non-binary, and then a bunch of cis women, and so they like shared with these women at this spa the concept of like putting your pronouns in your email signature, and their minds were blown. And this was like a couple years ago, you know. And I said to my girlfriend, I was like, I know this is gonna sound like a joke, but like, I really think that that's the work. Like, that's where the work is, because you reached people who you're not gonna run into at like Dyke Day or Cruise or like these are events in LA. Like, you know, you're not gonna run into these people at like the vegan queer POC owned restaurant in Silver Lake. And so I truly believe that the like where the real work is like beyond our close communities. And yet this relationship building and like connection protecting work is within our communities. And all too often people take that energy of like creating change, and instead of reaching beyond, they hyper focus on the minutiae of their own community. And that's where I think we end up alienating each other, ostracizing people, isolating ourselves, and ultimately, diminishing the impact of the work. And to bring it back to the word that you brought up, like burning ourselves out, like being working beyond our capacity. Because we then don't see the change. Like there's, it doesn't, it's one thing like when I teach a class and I'm like, wow, within 5 weeks, like you guys have just blossomed. Like that's incredible. But when you don't reach beyond and you're just hyper focusing on people who you're already mostly in agreement with most of the time, then you also don't get the gratification of being like, oh, there's like a transformation has happened here.
Something that's surfacing for me right now is like the unblocked program. One of the gifts that it gives people is helping them to reconnect with their own sense of power. Because there's a lot in there that you're asking people to check in with, like what is it that I say? Is coming from me and like my intuition or myself, as opposed, to the shoulds and expectations or the pressure that we put on ourselves. And I'm seeing the connection of that process of reconnecting with your own power and agency and like what you have to own, and where that enters into the people around us. To, like you were saying with your girlfriend, to be able to go to those folks at her job and being like, let's do pronouns. Like that's a holding of your own power, because I certainly know that there are people where you might be in a space and be like, well, I can't ask, I can't even introduce the concept of pronouns here. Like, that's just outside of my power. It's something that can't happen here. And I think taking that even just small steps, like that's a really, I don't know. I think it's both a small and a big thing, asking people to put pronouns in their signatures, but
But
it
it's
can,
like a it can be a catalyst. It can
yeah.
be, like a little gateway thing, like, hey, have you considered this? No. And then sometimes the sweater unravels,
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes it's the most insignificant things that we don't think are as monumental that actually create the like greatest change with our community. People around us, absolutely.
Yeah, totally. I've been this last year for me, I've like focused a lot on, I think the three things that like values or something that I've really named for myself were connection, joy, and awe. And those three things have like prioritizing those things have reduced so much stress in my life and given me so much more patience and I think access to choice around like, you know what? I'm actually going to choose not to correct this person right now. I'm actually going to choose not to advocate for myself right now because I, any number of things, I don't want to spend the energy because I trust this person's intentions and I don't feel like it, this is the right moment to insert something that's going to make them doubt themselves. Like if I'm really trying to stay connected, I actually have to be quite a bit more patient with people and not always put my needs first around like, oh, I'm feeling activated, like okay, I'm feeling activated. That doesn't mean I need to actually do anything to this person or say anything to this person or try to control anything about this person or the situation. What tools do I have to self-soothe, to move through this? What kind of aftercare can I seek out so that I'm prioritizing our connection in this moment? And like that has been a huge change for me, especially as I relate to activists. I'm like hesitant these days to even call myself an activist anymore because of how I've witnessed so much of that take place online. Yeah, like the prioritizing of connection has and joy and awe has really changed how I've improved my mental health. It's changed my relationship to social media. I mean, it's just been like a huge, huge shift that I'm so grateful for.
Absolutely. I think something that stands out to me in that is there's a like you're giving yourself, you're putting yourself in a much more empowered position around certain things. I've been having conversations with a lot of folks recently as I prepare to launch my new program, and a surprising number of folks that I've met with work in universities, and all the time, every single one of them is like, yeah, shit here is a dumpster fire, but there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing we can do. And someone was telling me a story of, I believe she wanted, like, she had something she needed to say to someone. But this person was at the time a peer. And then they, during that time period, got like a promotion or something, had sort of more authority. And they're like, well, now I definitely can't say anything because that person's in a position of power. And then they're gonna like isolate me or, you know, remove opportunities from me and yada, yada, yada. And I eventually did say, like, check in with that person. I don't think they addressed the specific issue. And that person was like, you're a friend of mine. You know, like, I wouldn't do that to you. And it's, you know, a different situation than what you're naming there. But I think just the act of really taking the time to have some stillness and reflection of thinking about what is the situation at hand? Do I want to say something because I feel like this could benefit our connection? Would my saying something like negatively impact our really our connection in a way that I'm not prepared to like recoup or, you know, work with?
Yeah.
And even just taking the position of, okay, right now it's not, this isn't big enough, or this doesn't feel impactful enough for me to say something to this person directly. Maybe this is like a me thing and I want to reflect on that. So much more of an empowering position than that person's just not going to hear me. That person's not going to care. That person's not going to this. Like, you're really shifting the perspective for yourself, which creates a better self-image, I think.
I love how you just like summed that up. That's so true. Yeah, I see so much like so many attempts to control other people in exactly these spaces where like we say we're trying to make the world a better place, you know, and like fighting fascism or whatever, and the cops, and it's like, what? I don't know, just like the irony of being like anti-incarceration, but then like ostracizing people. You know, I mean, we could talk for another hour. Okay. Well, we do have to wrap up. I really wish we could keep going, but I only have like a few more minutes. So I want to make sure that you get to explain very concretely what it is that you're offering in case people, for those of the people listening who want to work with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So within my business loving practice, we are developing a peer learning community. And so within that space, what we're doing is there are kind of two primary focuses. One is around generative conflict, and the other is around everyday transformative justice. And so the program offering that will definitely be available to people once they listen to this, is the program called Generative Conflict at Work. And so during that program, folks will be working in this community for a year, meeting about once a month to learn about and actually practice generative conflict. And the sort of intention, like I said, is to build that conflict tolerance, equip people with tools, information, skills, so that they can bring those practices into their day-to-day. And then the second program that I'm working on developing is around everyday transformative justice. So that's a topic I'm really interested in, is just transformative justice broadly. But I feel personally like I have a hard time comprehending like this framework that is designed specifically around like gender-based violence, harm, child abuse, things like that. and what skills, actions that I can do every single day that help me build up the capacity to do the work when it's like really needed. So I'll be working on a program for folks to kind of do that learning together as well.
Amazing. So cool. And where can people find you?
Lovingpractice.com is the website. I am on Instagram underscore Kiana Gabrielle. I don't really use Instagram like that. You can also email me. My email is on the website. I'm very eager and excited to get to know folks. So if people are connecting with my work, what I say, want to get to know me, anything like that, I very much so welcome like one-on-one video calls, text messaging, whatever. Like I love connecting with people.
All right, amazing. Well, thank you so much for doing this with me again. Everyone has already heard on here about my storage disaster, and but I am glad that we were able to talk, and because this is going to be released much sooner than, oh, like in only in a couple weeks as opposed to like a few months later. So I'm glad we were able to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just happy to see you again, Mia.
Yeah, me too. Always nice to see you. Take care, Kiana. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Bye.